I like for healing to be instant. I like for money to be instant. But it's just not always that way. So what have I got to do? Well, I've got to come to grips with this. If I'm going to live in the supernatural and walk by faith, I'm going to have patience along with my faith.
What should you do when the thing you're believing God for doesn't happen right away? Today, Gloria Copeland explains that you can obtain whatever God has promised when you allow patience to undergird your faith. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
I'm talking about faith, and today I'm going to talk about the other half of the equation, patience. How many of you just love patience and to operate in patience? Faith and patience, somebody said, I didn't make this up, but it's true. Maybe Brother Hagin said this. Faith and patience are the power twins. But you need both of them because everything's not instant. Why isn't it, when we believe we receive something, why isn't it just like that? Just like a, you know, the act of faith just comes on and happens right now. Because most everything you believe for involves other people. And even if it's just believing for your health, it involves what you do. So it's not that God's hard of hearing. It's that it says God's extraordinarily patient himself. He's extraordinarily patient. And he works with us to get us in line with receiving. So today we're going to talk about the other half of the equation, the other half of the power twins, and it's not all that much fun. It's fun to receive, but it's not all that much fun to have what? Patience. Patience. And yet the scripture teaches us it's a spiritual force. It's something that's necessary. Let's look at Hebrews 10:16. Yeah, this is right, 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So how does that happen? Does that happen while you sleep? Can you take a pill, a word pill, and when you wake up in the morning, you know what the book of Hebrews says? No, that'd be great, wouldn't it? We'd go for that. No, you have to put it in your eyes, in your ears, the word in your eyes, in your ears, and it gets into your heart, and you have to do that continually. Why? Why can't I just come to a believers' convention every year and fill up and then go till the next year? Because the devil works all the time. You've got an enemy. His name is Satan. He's come to kill, to steal, to destroy. He's out after you. He considers you an enemy. So you have to be diligent about the things of God. And you have to be diligent about the Word. And we can't be lazy. The Scripture says, hold fast. Let's look at 22 here. Is this what I'm looking for? Let us draw near, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The next verse says, let you and me hold fast the profession of our faith. Now here's where you win or you lose in faith. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. That's how you receive. Glory to God. Well, what if you waver? If you waver, if you begin to say you don't have it, if you begin to complain about why it's taking too long, if you begin to waver in your heart and in your words, you repent. You get it straight. You recognize it immediately and you get back on your faith. Thank God we can get back. Thank the Lord we can repent. So it says, let us, let you and me hold fast. That means get a grip and keep it on the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Glory to God. We don't waver. We get on faith, we stay on it. If we slip, we repent, we get back on our faith. We know that faith takes the Word of God and holds on to it and says it, speaks it out until the manifestation of it's come, until the thing is done. Oh, sometimes it might take a week. Sometimes it might take a month. Sometimes it might take a year. But if you'll stay on your confession of faith based on the Word of God, whatever you're believing God for will ultimately change. It's just not always instant. I like it when it's instant. I like for healing to be instant. I like for money to be instant. But it's just not always that way. So what have I got to do? Well, I've got to come to grips with this. If I'm going to live in the supernatural and walk by faith, I'm going to have patience along with my faith. Amen? We call faith and patience, which would be this part in 23 that says, talks about holding fast our confession of faith without wavering. Patience keeps you from wavering. Patience keeps you from giving up. And look at the rest of that verse. For he is faithful that promised. So if we didn't have a promise, like if we didn't have a promise of healing, we wouldn't have anything to hold on to. You know, we'd just be hoping. We'd be hoping. That would be hope. I hope I get healed. But when we've got a promise of healing, by his stripes you were healed, we've got something now to put our faith on, to stand on until every symptom's gone. Amen? But what does that take sometimes? You know, I don't plan for anything to take a long time, but sometimes it takes a while to get money in. It takes a while to pay for a new car. It takes a while to get rid of sickness and disease. The thing that we have to have is faith and patience. Faith sounds a lot more exciting, doesn't it, than patience. But the truth is that when you get to where you walk by with patience, you can get anything. When you get to where you'll exercise patience, you'll just get on the Word of God, just stay there until the manifestation comes. No matter how long it takes, you're there for the duration. And you can do it, and then you get everything. Glory to God. With faith, you get started. With patience, you finish the race in faith. See, patience by itself's not enough. I mean, you know, sometimes people think Bible patience is just endurance, just enduring the problem. But patience without faith doesn't get anything done. But then sometimes faith without patience doesn't get anything done if it's not something that happens instantly. So what do? We just have to get in gear. We have to get our mouth in gear, keep it in gear to say the word concerning whatever we're believing for. And we have to make a stand of faith and undergird it with patience. Hallelujah. See, that's the thing you do, is you keep believing God. You stay on it. Now, that's where patience comes in, and that's what we're going to study today. I'm just working my way up there now. So Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Jesus said, I'm telling you, I say to you that whosoever, that would be you and me, shall say to the mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do you keep doubt out of your heart? You feed the Word of God in there. Let's just say you're believing for healing. You feed on the healing scriptures until with your eyes and your ears, and it gets down in your heart and it begins to grow in there and grow in there. And faith comes by hearing the word, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon, and you stay in your patience, You don't give up. We're going to talk about it. I'm telling you, patience is powerful. Patience is powerful. Patience undergirds your faith and keeps faith applied. You doubt not in your heart, but you believe you receive. He shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. How come I have the audacity to believe that what I say has power and action to come to pass? How come I can do that? Because I read it right here in the Bible. It's not my power. It's what God, it's what Jesus said. I'm acting on what Jesus said. I believe what he said. Those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, to me, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. The whole basis of our faith is based on, for one thing, and primarily to get started into the action of faith on that scripture. Believe you receive when you pray. What does that mean? That means that I ask the Lord, we ask the Lord, we get the word out. We believe we receive, we ask for it, we believe we receive it. When we pray, we take it. You know, that's what the word there, receive means, is to take. We take hold of a car. We take hold of our healing. We take hold of a house, a job. We take hold of a job. Or you could say you take hold of a better job. Glory to God. You take it. You take it. What does that mean? Well, if I gave you something and you held out your hands and you took it, you received it. You took it. That's the action of faith. It's not hard. It takes discipline, because once you believe you receive it, I'm telling you, all of hell will try to tell you you're not going to get it. You don't think the devil's going to take a vacation just because you believed you received it, do you? No, but you know he's a liar. Whatever he says to you, you know is a lie. If he says, you're not going to get this car. Now, God's not going to tell you that. God's not going to tell you, you're not going to get a car. You're not going to get healed. God's not the one. He couldn't possibly tell you that when you've acted on his word and believed you received it. Well, so when you hear that, you're not going to get that car. You're not going to get that job. You're not going to get that house. You know the source. Consider the source. You know where it's come from. God will never tell you something different than what's in his word. Satan is a what?
Liar.
He is best known for lying. God will never tell you it's not going to work. That couldn't be God. He will never tell you your needs aren't going to be met. He'll never tell you. God will never tell you you're going to die young. He would never tell you that. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews 10. 16. Did I already do that? But I'm going to do it again if I did, because I'm catching on now. I'm catching up here. Hebrews 10. By the way, y'all are great to sit here all day and listen to the word. It will carry great compensation of reward in your life. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10, 16 says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts. Glory to God. And into their minds will I write them. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. That's an obedient heart, a right heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now here it is. Let us, you and me, that's you and me, buddy. Let us hold fast the profession. I've already told you I can read the reading, but my writing is messing me up here. Let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our faith without wavering. We speak faith. We say faith. We have what we say. Hebrews says, let us hold fast the confession or the profession of our faith without wavering. Whatever we believe we receive, we hold fast to it. We don't waver. We're not in and out. If we do waver, we repent quick and we get back on our faith. Amen. You know, if something just shoots out your mouth, some unbelieving something, what do you do? Well, you're not hung with it. Repent. Amen. The devil hates it, but you and I can repent. Glory to God. We can say, I rebuke those words. I negate those words. I believe I receive whatever it was you prayed. You get back in it and repeat it again. So we hold fast our profession of faith. Faith fights. Faith is forceful. Faith has patience. Patience undergirds love. Patience undergirds faith. Helps love forbear. Helps faith not faint or give up. You know, if your faith's getting weak and you're wanting to get impatient and quit, that force of patience will come up and undergird your faith and keep it applied. Once you learn what patience is and you do a study on it yourself and you set yourself to walk in patience, it is a powerful force. It will keep you steady. It will keep you in faith. It will keep you from caving in under pressure. The New Living Translation in Ephesians 4 says, patience and love are inseparable. Glory to God. Patience undergirds love. Patience undergirds faith. Helps love forbear. Helps faith not faint or give up. Undergirds all the fruit of the Spirit. Through faith and patience, we obtain the promises. Hallelujah.
Success, thrive, grow, increase, to prosper. Are you ready for a complete financial breakthrough? The key to being a part of God's financial system is to do your part. Step out in faith and receive what God has for you. It's our prayer that you experience true prosperity like never before, spirit, soul, and body. To accomplish this, we've created one of the most in-depth Bible-based resources Kenneth Copeland Ministries has ever made available on this subject. Introducing Lifeline's newest title, Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough. Be prepared to fully engage with all the materials. Write in your workbook, speak the scriptures, pray the prayers, watch the videos, listen to the music, and take time to really absorb the teachings. Take a step of faith towards your financial breakthrough today. Order your copy of Your 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Complete Financial Breakthrough by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Now available for just $15. For faster processing, order online at kcm.org. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. This new product is a lifeline practical tool for your everyday needs. Order yours today.
KCM partners Stephen and Aaron Zahner and their four children live in Wentzville, Missouri. We met them during the Southwest Believers Convention.
This is our 18th year to come to the Believers Convention here in Texas.
Do you feel like it was an important part of the foundation of who your family is today?
Absolutely, without a doubt. It was really hard sometimes at the beginning, but certainly a sacrifice worth making.
To keep bringing them back to the exact same place, you know, we were always talking about starting traditions, and we did that kind of a thing. But a foundation in God, there was nothing else better I could see for my kids. And me and my wife, too, just to keep bringing us back to reality.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has been a big part of my life. My mom and dad have raised me, coming to these meetings year after year. God's Word implanted in us, it grows, and it's a seed. Every time a seed's planted, it keeps on growing and multiplying.
In 2008, you had an opportunity to be a part of a mission trip. Tell me about that.
Seeing this opportunity to go into a different country and being excited about a new atmosphere, as well as knowing God was going to be there. When I looked at the bulletin, it was in the bulletin, just a little section on it, we're going to Kosovo. And God said, I'd like you to be there.
But it wasn't inexpensive. It was sort of a big commitment financially, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was over $2,000, which that to me was something I didn't, it was above and beyond all I could ask or think. And around that time, I had been hearing Kenneth Copeland talking about how he had to start believing for millions of dollars to go on television. And he started thinking about, okay, God is so big, $1 million is nothing to him.
I already have the plan for you, and it's very good. Follow it.
And I began to think about it and meditate on it and started to cast all my care on the Lord, saying, that $3,000 is nothing to you. $2,600 is even less. It was a really good experience to start getting in the Word, because I hadn't really stood on the Word before, taking specific scriptures and saying them over and over until they're down in my heart and where I believe that it's coming to pass.
So really you had 6 months to fund $2,600,
right,
or to be funded.
Right.
So during that period, you decided not to stress out, not to go get three jobs after school and
right,
try to raise the money, not to send out form letters, but just to focus on the Word and believe God to provide.
It was a good experience to know what worry in the flesh feels like, and then knowing that the faith inside of you, God's working on your faith and building you up, strengthening you, knowing that, okay, you always have someone to fall back on.
So in the spirit, you were growing. You felt very comfortable. But naturally, circumstances were not really lining up.
Exactly.
You couldn't say, okay, here's the check. The deadline is getting closer. So there was some pressure, and I'm sure people were asking you questions about when's your money going to come in.
Yeah.
What happened, Stephen, as the deadline actually drew to a close?
I didn't want to be around anybody because I thought that question would come up, and I was feeling condemned by everyone around me. The devil just kept on putting lies in my head. They're going to ask you this, and you're not prepared for this, and you're not strong enough. And it was a daily thing, just casting my care on the Lord. I had to do it daily, and sometimes hourly, just, God, I need you.
Hello?
And then it came to the day that it really was the deadline day.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a phone call, Erin.
I did. It was the person in charge of the mission trip at our church. And he called to say, this is the phone call I really hate to make. And so I knew what was coming. And he said, you know, today's pretty much the deadline. We have to commit. We have to have the money. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to squish Stephen's faith. I mean, I could put it on a credit card. I know he's supposed to go, but, you know, what do you recommend? So we were just in the conversation, and then he said, I think I was talking, and he said, wait, hold on. And I could hear voices in the background, and it was his wife. And he said, Erin, just hold on a minute. He's Patty, what? So his wife explained that somebody just called while he was on the phone with me and said they wanted to pay for Stephen's entire trip. And I said, okay, you have to tell this to Stephen. Because Stephen was home, but he was just getting in the shower. So I ran upstairs and banged on the door. I said, Stephen, get dressed. Get out of the bathroom. You got to talk on the phone right now.
I was really excited. I was really happy. And there was still that thing inside me, I told you. And this knowing that, yes, it's done. The only difference between me and the next guy is I've received from God. And anytime someone wants to receive from God, just ask. And God really is good. He's a helper. He's a comforter. And relying on Him is so much better than anything the world has to offer.
Now I want to ask you something. Now, you watched that young man do what he was needing to do. Gloria and I have been through this. Our children have been through this. God will teach you and train you. He doesn't teach and train you by making you sick and beating you over the head. No, he was loving him. He's working with him. He's developing the force of patience, and he kept standing and confessing those scriptures day in and day out. Well, now he's learned that. Now, what are you going to do about this whole year coming up in front of you? You going to keep whining and carrying on about, oh, the economy's so bad and I don't have anything? Well, hey, you need to learn from this young man. If you had to go back, kcm.org, and look at that over and over and over again, get the materials that are being made available to you, praise the Lord, and teach you how to do these things. But you're going to have to take hold. You're going to have to engage, praise
right.
God,
engage.
And
That's
have faith in God. Well, what am I going to do? Have faith in God. Where am I going to get it? Have faith in God. What's going to happen? Have faith in God.
The answer to every question.
Amen. Yeah. And all of us, for the rest of your life, you're going to have to be training all the time because you're always going to a higher level. And there's times, just like his mama said, you have to suck your faith, your flesh up, and sometimes it's
tough.
What was
the word? I forgot the word she used.
And that's what she used, to suck that faith up, and it's a sacrifice, and it's hard, but it's worth it.
It's true.
And you have to do that. Shut up, flesh, just shut up. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the reason product like this, where you can have an action plan over a 10-day period of time with the CDs and so forth that it takes to get on track and stay there. Don't let your mind rule you. Don't let your flesh rule you. This is a powerful kit. It's a wonderful thing to help you, but it's not going to be any good if you don't engage.
We're about to start a new year. It's a great time to make a change.
I'm telling you.
Make a change.
What an opportunity for faith people.
Yes.
To help people and bless people. Praise God. This is your time. It's your year.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Hey, don't forget, we got prayer ministers right here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, trained people of faith ready to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our offices in other nations around the world, we have prayer ministers there. If you'll check with them, they can tell you what times they're available to you. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you next time. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our online store today at kcm.org to purchase this broadcast on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you. Walk in the blessing and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.